Jack is back, and he's not the only one. Riley Moss obviously announced that last week. Sam Laporta, minutes after Jack said he was coming back, Sam is coming back. It's episode 285 of the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast, brought to you by DRF Sports, and we are here to break it all down. In fact, someone asked the question, how long are the walk-ons going to be around? We'll answer that. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome in. Welcome in. If you're a Patreon member, you knew ahead of time that Drake isn't here tonight. Sad face, everybody cry that loves Drake and all that. It's just me and Kevin. You just get us, right? And you know what? Oftentimes, the coaches at Iowa, they were probably sad about that too. If they just get Kluver and Kevin, that's a tough one. We were looking for somebody with more talent, but we made it work anyway. We're going to make it work here tonight. So Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, I, you know, we love having you on the show. And
yeah, no, I know I'm your guy's most frequented guest. So, you know, it's good to be here.
I was going to say, this is guest appearance, like, I don't know, probably like 150 by you. So,
oh, it's gotta be more than that.
I think it's like 200.
What episode is this?
285. Welcome into 285.
285. I got to be around 200, you think, right?
I don't know. Somebody that has way too much time out there in the Army, go see how many times Kevin's shown up. I would actually love to know that.
I think 200 is a good line.
Yeah, it is a good line. I'm going to set another line just for fun to start the podcast here. I was watching a podcast today. Eddie Hall was the guest. Do you know who Eddie Hall is?
Yeah, I know Eddie Hall.
He deadlifted 500 kilos.
That's a lot of weight.
It's 1,100 pounds. For those,
that's close to the record. What was Thor's record? What did he pull?
It was the record, and then Thor pulled 501.
That's what I thought.
How many calories do you think he was eating at the time a day at the time of that record? I'll give
Eddie
you this.
Hall's a big man.
He weighed at the time 445, which is just absurd, by the way.
I'm going to say he was eating anywhere from 10 to 12,000 calories a day.
12,000 calories a day.
Yeah.
Was like his floor. He said that on bigger days, 14 or 15 was very easy. Dude, that's unbelievable, dude.
That's a lot of calories.
Are you still eating 4,000 a day plus?
I'd say so, yeah.
Wow. What do you weigh? Has it not affected your weight?
No, I'm still staying steady, 210, 215. Wow. Between that range, you know, fluctuates throughout the day.
Look at you. Look at you. And I understand a lot of you out there are like, I don't know what that means. Well, first of all, take like your average female out there. 15,000 calories is how much an average female eats in a week, like Sunday through Saturday. So this man was eating that all in one day.
I don't know why I thought this, where are you going to go with that? I'm not even gonna say it.
Say it, please, dude. No. Drake's not here. We need some outrageous shit for this episode. What you thought I was gonna say? Like he was eating the average woman every day or something like that.
He was eating. Drake, you can eat the average woman and get 50,000 calories.
The average woman is about 50,000 calories worth of energy. And he was eating that every day. He was consuming a human female every 24 hours. Oh my God. I love it.
I have no idea why that's where I thought you were going there.
Holy shit. Okay. So that's good. That's where I wanted to take this. I just wanted to start the episode with that. Oh gosh. Before we
jump into some schedule changes, I just want to remind everybody, the kind folks at home, that we are presented by DRF Sports. You guys have heard it, heard us talk about it. We're really fortunate to have them as the title sponsor. And of course, that comes with us mentioning that every podcast. But DRF, their sports book is going to be live next week. And it's every better's dream. Exclusive data, betting trends, analytics. I'm telling you, it's gonna rival all the other sports books. You're going to be able to bet with us. We're going to have bets of the week. All this cool stuff coming down the line. You know, we could bet on Russian ping pong and Swedish pickleball championships, whatever you want, cricket. They also have a free-to-play sports predictor app called DRF Cash Grab. It's available in the App Store, Google Play Store, and 100% free. Download, start predicting, win some money, and it's totally free. So check that out. Thanks to DRF for sponsoring the podcast.
The updated schedule, I didn't know this was happening. I don't know why it happened. I don't do that much research, but I do enough to pull it up and look at it, the end result. The updated schedule for the Hawks was announced today.
I did see that, yep.
So, and I've actually got the entire...
The whole Big Ten did it. They just flipped games around. Like, no opponents changed or anything.
Right.
They just kind of flipped around when everything was.
Correct. So, week 0 through week 13, I have pulled up for every Big Ten team here. Iowa, obviously, we'll go over that in a second. But some notable things, Nebraska and Northwestern are playing in Ireland in week 0. We talked about that before. That will be somewhat interesting, I guess. It'll be something to watch, at least. And then the only other team that's playing in week 0 is Illinois. They'll be playing Josh Allen's alma mater in the Wyoming Cowboys. So Polisek will be taking on Illinois. Other than that, Iowa does not play week 0. Opens the season with the South Dakota State, not the North Dakota State, who beat us. That was
who repeated as national champions again.
By like 4 touchdowns.
I think it was like more than that. I think they won by like 35.
They're ridiculously good.
I think that program puts Alabama to shame. They've won 9 titles in like 11 years, which is just insane.
Is that the number?
Yeah.
All right.
They won 9 titles since like 2010.
Well, now I'm intrigued. FCS National Championship. Championship list. 9 in 11 years? That would be fucking absurd.
And, you know, because we're such a horrible program, one of the years they didn't win was the year that they beat us. So
really? That's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one as well.
That's not cool.
Still a great program, though. No, seriously. Probably one of the better. I mean, not even probably. It's the most dominant program in American sports right now.
It's a dynasty. I'm looking at it right now. So,
they've gone through like 3 head coaches in that time that have gone on, like, really? Taking better jobs. And, you know, obviously you got players coming in and out that they've had several NFL quarterbacks. It's like, they just keep showing up. They just keep pumping up and they are, they're just a well-run program.
Yeah. I'm looking at it right here all the way back to 1978, actually, which is sort of interesting. Before they took over, and I believe you're right, it was 9 in 11 years. Wow. That is fucking absurd. And in 16, when we lost to them, James Madison won against Youngstown State. And then last year, Sam Houston beat South Dakota State. They're South Dakota State, the old Jackrabbits, huh? So relative to the Iowa schedule, we're not just starting the season with some puppy You know, they're going to come in and, I mean, they'll be.
Nah. I mean, those top FCS programs would beat a lot of Power Five teams.
They would.
I've said this before. I'll say it again. I think you stick North Dakota State in the Big Ten. They're going to be favorites versus the Rutgers, the Maryland, yeah. The, you know, I think Illinois is down, Indiana this last year. They compete.
I think they could go 5-4 if the schedule was right.
Depending. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
You know, like I remember
watching them on film. They're a physical team that's very disciplined. They're built a lot like Iowa is. And, you know, they've got some dudes. They've got some dudes at the FCS level, and they coach them up well and they play hard. It's tough to beat that.
Yeah, a lot of their guys go to the league too, or get shots. So,
oh yeah, for sure.
So
the Hawks open up with South Dakota State, which right. is
like they're
not as good as North Dakota State, but still a good program.
Yeah. So week one, home. Week two, home. Cy-Hawk series, Kinnick. It's lit. Haven't lost Iowa State since Nam. That's love it. You know, can't wait. Then Nevada, in week three, also home. And then we open Big Ten play on the road. This is one of the changes now at Rutgers, which we did in
2016.
In 2016, I think. Yeah. And we damn near messed that one up.
It was an exciting 14-7 game.
Yeah. George really saved us on that long pass. I remember.
Or, you know, the defense only giving up 7 points.
Well, yeah.
But people forget about that, you know, whatever.
People forget, man.
People forget about the defense.
And we're going to talk about the defense here in a second, because we have a couple announcements here just in the last couple hours. Back home, 4 home games in the first 5 games, by the way. I mean, I tell you, the tailgate scene, the livers of Iowa City, they're in for one.
Yeah, it's going to be gonna have to, you know, kind of. I don't know if I'm either going to go dry in August to prepare, or I'm going to have to like slowly ramp up my drinking in August to prepare. One of the two.
I don't think going dry is that could be dangerous.
You think
a full dry August in prep for that?
Yeah, you know, it's like he's giving it a break, and then, you know, then it's game time.
That's like Terrence Harris coming back 17 pounds overweight, and then you jump right into fucking 60s, man. Like, oh, I don't know about that. Michigan, the Big Ten opener, home opener. And I don't think that the team is going to forget what just happened in the Big Ten championship.
I think that's going to be a fun game. They're going to be a really different team this next year, losing a lot.
Yeah.
On the contrary, the Hawks are returning a lot, and that's going to be a fun one. I know the fans already got it circled on their calendars, but that'll be a good game.
It's going to be strength on strength. Their offense is going to be in better shape than their defense relative to this year. They're going to lose Aiden Hutchinson and a few others on the defensive side of the ball, so their defense will not be as stout. But their offense should be pretty damn good. And obviously our defense is top 10 in the country. So interesting. We then get Illinois at Illinois. We have to go to Rutgers, to Illinois, to Purdue.
All of the worst places to play.
Yeah. Add Maryland in there and it would be the sweep. We go to Illinois. Then we get a break bye week right in the middle, week 7. To prepare for at Ohio State Buckeyes. Not a bad thing.
Not the worst place to get your bye week.
Granted, I think someone did the stats when the bye week came up this year and said something like Kirk is like, he's negative when it comes to bye week games coming out of the bye week or something like that. So, you know, I don't know if stats really matter like that, but it's something.
It could very well get more negative this year.
There's a decent chance.
No. I mean, I don't look a whole lot into it. It's for me, a bye week is just great for the players to get a load off their legs for a little bit, get to kind of relax and reset themselves mentally. And for me, it's more important. It's not as important about who you're playing before or after. It's about where it's at in the season. You don't want it too early, so you have a long back stretch, or you don't want it too late, so you know, you're dead by the time you get there.
Exactly.
So what's that? It's after week six we get it?
Yes, we will play six games and then get it.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think it's in a great spot. So we play Ohio State out of that bye week. We'll come home to play Northwestern. We'll then go to Purdue. We'll come back home to play Wisconsin. We'll go to Minnesota, and we'll finish with home against Nebraska.
So finishing up with the West.
Yeah, it's the letter schools. It goes NPWMN at the end there. And that's usually when Iowa's playing their best football. You want to look at November stats. That's a stat. So interesting, nothing crazy groundbreaking, but that's what the Iowa schedule now looks like. And I could do some deep diving into the other West schools here and try and pick apart how many games they're going to win and see if the Hawks have a good chance to repeat as West champs. Maybe we'll do that some other time. There's some other topics on the
docket. I think the Hawks are my favorite in at least 9 games.
Michigan, Ohio State, and Wisconsin.
And they could even be favored at versus Wisconsin.
They could. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's just to start.
That's Kevin's.
That's the way too early.
Yeah. That's the Kevin's way too early betting lines of 2022.
You're probably going to get another, the over under for the wins for Hawks wins last year was 8.5. You're probably going to get 8.5, 9 again this year.
Yep. John Miller actually just tweeted that out today. He's like, I'm setting it up. He said, I think this team next year could be better, a better overall football team, but they might win less regular season games.
The regular season schedule is tougher, no doubt.
Yeah. I mean, you've got, instead of the crossovers of, well, I mean, we had Penn State this year.
Penn State, Maryland, and
and Indiana.
Indiana, yeah. Which Indiana turned out being a flop. Maryland was, 6-6?
Yeah.
And Penn State was good when we played them. They battled the injury bug down the line.
Fell off.
They ended 7-5. They were a good 7-5 team.
They were a very good 7-5 team that had to deal with a lot of injuries about right after the week that we played them. So,
right.
Yeah, so, so yeah, Michigan, Ohio State, Rutgers, if we don't beat Rutgers, fucking throw the towel in, the season's over. But instead of looking at that and saying, okay, we got away with two of them, we're looking at that and saying, okay, two of those are tough and maybe the toughest out of the crossover. So, it's tough. We'll talk about it further.
One thing that we can also talk about further is the ultimate fan promotion we've had going on for a few weeks. You guys have heard me talk about it. You've heard about our teams. You know, Henry Ruggs over on Drake's team, even though he's not here tonight, I don't think he's contributed much, but several of my guys have. And one week I actually won. I legitimately won. There's $40,000 worth of gift cards. You can download that now in the description of this podcast. Go and click that link. It's free. It's a fun way to go through. Fantasy football's over now, but not on Ultimate Fan. All right. You're playing for prizes. It starts over weekly. It's super fun. You get to open packs, build your team, and I love it. Download now and you can see if you can beat me. My high score is 61, scored 54 last week, thought I was going to win, got matched up with a guy that just evidently had the God pack. He just got the God draw. So Ultimate Fan, terms and conditions apply, US and Canada only, but get on there, see if you can beat me, screenshot your team, send it to me, and I'll send you merch. It's literally that easy this week. That's it.
Speaking of that defense that you mentioned earlier, people forget, Phil Parker, He just lulls him to sleep.
Just doing his thing, man. Just doing his thing.
Jack is back. Officially announced about 2 hours ago on Twitter. Jack Campbell, a second team All-American middle linebacker for the Hawkeyes, had 121 tackles. And I even went back and found that his senior year of high school, he had, what would you set the line at for how many he had his senior year of high school?
What? Offers?
Tackles.
In high school?
Yeah. I think he probably played like 14 games.
140. I don't know.
168.
That's a lot.
That is.
Was anybody else on the team tackling anyone?
No. They're all like, Jack, you take it. The dude finds the ball. Like he just finds the ball. And he, I don't know what you think. I think of the general output on him was, he's probably a third day guy, but early third day, you know, we're looking fifth, sixth round, right? Right now. Another,
I think it's fourth round.
Fourth round.
But doesn't matter. Cause he's not going.
Doesn't matter. He's not going. I think with another year under his belt, he gets better at all the things that he's already good at. He shores up some of his weaknesses. Maybe he plays himself into a second round or third round, right?
For sure. It really depends what the linebacker class is like for
Definitely. Next
year. Always does. It's tough to find areas for where he will make significant strides.
You're right.
For me, there's always some stuff you can do better. Obviously, I think he can get better at man-to-man coverage. Luckily, we don't ask him to do that a whole lot.
Yep.
And
I don't know perhaps, if a, I don't know if a,
work on his pass rushes a little bit more. He'll be asked to do that at the next level more often. I think he's a great side-to-side player. I think he moves laterally very well. I think he takes on blocks well. I think he's a smart player. I think he's pretty good in zone coverage.
Yeah, I don't know if an NFL team will ask him to go man-on-man either a lot. You know, one that would take him, right?
You're going to get asked to do it at some time.
You're going to have to.
Away from it.
Yeah, you can take three vert. I mean, three vert was the fucking end of Tyler Kluver as the middle linebacker in 7-on-7 in high school. Like, if that running back was fast and they sent him in the seam, hey, we're fucked.
Northern Iowa, 2014.
Northern Iowa. David, what's his face?
Yep.
Who got taken?
Quentin Austin.
Yep, Q. Yep. That was me. That was me once in a blue moon in high school. Like, oh, shit. They're running the running back for, what was his name? David
Johnson.
Yeah, dude. He was like top of the fantasy draft boards and then fell off. And like, I don't even know if he's a factor now.
Is he with, who's he with? He was with Houston.
He was with Arizona, then went to Houston. I have no idea after Houston where he ended up.
He was part of the DeAndre Hopkins trade, I think.
I believe he was. Yeah,
which is wild. He hasn't done anything since, really.
He was
a dog in college, and yeah, that's he got us for a few touchdowns and made that game close, and that was literally how they did it.
If we would have had Jack Campbell, we would have been in a little bit better shape, probably.
For sure. But they was like, all right, we found our one dude that will beat one of your dudes.
Yep.
That's what we're gonna do.
Yeah, we're gonna do that until you stop us. And even if you stop us, we're still gonna try and probably do it somehow. I think, in my opinion, hey, and this is, I'm not going to say fat. I'm no longer fat. I'm actually currently in incredible shape. But this is old, long snapper, 27-year-old opinion. I think sometimes, he's 6'5", man. You don't find a lot of 6'5 middle linebackers, I don't feel like.
Brian Urlacher.
Right. And I feel like on occasion, it's not a big knock on him. But on occasion, he didn't play as big as he is. I don't know. I don't even know how to really describe it into more than that. Because he does take on blocks well, but sometimes I feel like he could just run through a motherfucker. I don't know. But hey, I'm 5'10", and I was
easier said than done, you know, just to run through a motherfucker.
Did you like my response, by the way, on your tweet about Kittle and Fant? It's like, hey, just be better and guard him, right?
Yeah, yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, it's, you know, something I would say too.
I think that's good advice.
It is good advice. It's always good advice. Anyone out there that if you're doing anything in your life poorly, hey, just do it better.
Just be better.
Just do better than you're currently doing.
Just figure out, you know, quantify your current results and make it better. It's that simple.
That's all it is.
Also back, Sam Laporta, the Hawkeyes TE1, TEU maybe, buy a t-shirt in the merch store, coming soon, restock. Laporta, 53 catches for 670 yards and a big bowl game, 3 touchdowns this year. Big bowl game, 7 catches for 122 and a tutter. That's big. That's big.
Yep, yep. You did that. You did that big time. We got a lot of offense coming back. A
lot of offense, man. Tell you what, man.
We're still waiting on one piece to find out what's going to happen there.
That's a big puzzle piece, huh?
It's actually big old puzzle piece.
It's actually not
one of those puzzle pieces, like, you know, say like a 3-year-old puzzle piece got tossed into one of those 1,000 piece sets. That thing is just like that much bigger than all the other puzzle pieces.
But it still fits in somehow, right?
It somehow fits in the puzzle. Exactly.
Yeah, there's a 12 piece 2-year-old.
It's 50% of the puzzle. That's surface area. And then there's 999 other pieces that.
Somebody please Photoshop the execution of what that would look like and tag us. Linderbaum as one of the, like a 4-year-old puzzle where it's like 12 pieces and then it's in like a 2,000 piece picture. That's Linderbaum. We'll get to him in a second. I think Lachey is good at tight end. I don't know. Obviously he has a lot to improve on too. Young guy. And I think we've got, you know, I think Hockenson and Fant and Kittle did a lot for us. I think tight end, we're going to continue to reload here. And if we keep, you know, we've got some great momentum there. But having Laporta back, especially, and I don't know if this is going to be the case, but this is where we're going to next. If Petras is somehow the quarterback, I will stand right now and just say, hey, wouldn't be the first direction that I would be looking to go to, but I'm not in that position. If Petras is the quarterback, he finds the tight ends a lot better than Padilla does. And those stats are actually drastic when you look at the numbers. Granted, Padilla only had about 3.5 games to show us what he had. That's huge. Padilla and Petras both will be back, at least for now, entering the 2022 season.
Good. Love that.
And that means...
About time we got some headlines of people out there competing for a job.
And that means
it's not really an Iowa thing, I don't think, but around the country, it's just like, you know, oh, I'm not the starter. I'm going to go.
Generational thing.
Generational. Jesus Christ, we're getting old.
Hey, man. Kids these days, you know?
Kids these fucking days.
Dude, we're 28. No, we're 28. There's kids who are going to be, hey, there's going to be kids. There's already kids that will play in the 2022 season that are 10 years younger than we are.
Don't love hearing that. shit. But no, I love to hear that. Competition's what makes America great. Competition's what's going to make these players great. We'll find out. You know, I'm sure there'll be a long process. I'm sure it'll go all the way up through camp of who's going to get the starting job.
This tells me two things. It tells me that the coaches between the bowl game and right now have had talks with those quarterbacks and told them, hey, it's not the other guy's job. It's not your job. It's a clear open competition. Okay. That's number one. Number two, it tells me that those two boys, like you said, they got some nuts on them. They got some cojones. They're betting on themselves. Hey, I'm going to go take that job. I'm going to go win it. And they're not just taking the easy route, taking the Deuce Hogan route. We haven't even talked about this yet. Deuce Hogan.
Oh, I did see that.
We all know that Deuce Hogan entered the transfer portal and his mom is his agent. He's actually going to be playing for the Kentucky Wildcats, the team that we just lost to in the Citrus Bowl. He'll be walking on to the program. Something that Kevin and I are very familiar with. He's going to be paying out-of-state tuition to go play in the blue and white. And this is an example, a prime example of how you might think that you can just jump in the portal like that Dr. Pepper commercial. My time is now. You can just jump in the portal and some team, you know, all these teams are going to be out there going, oh my God. Yeah. We'd love to have you. Here's a scholarship. The problem is it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Believe it or not, there's not a whole lot of appetite out there in Power Five football. Nonetheless, the rest of, D1 for a third string, going to be fourth string quarterback who has no tape from
his first school,
college at all. You know, it's,
I said it.
Yeah, it's actually starting to get more well recognized that unless you're at a top tier program and you're behind some top tier dudes
and you're like a second string,
right? Or you're a top tier dude that's like grad transferring and trying to go up to a better program, you know, maybe make the move from a group of five to a power five or D1AA to a D1, whatever. If you're not one of those dudes, the transfer portal can be pretty ruthless because there's just not enough spots.
Well,
you know, you got freshmen coming in. Like there's only so many scholarships out there.
Yeah. Here's the way I thought about it the other day that I thought was interesting. It's almost like this false problem. And I'd love your thoughts on this. It's almost a false problem because really what's happening is, you know, you and I, we know a lot of guys. We could come up with a list of 10 or more right now who just hung it up, right? It just wasn't going to happen for them. And they just hung it up. Year two, year three, year four. Shit, we know a couple guys, at great dudes, Connor Kane, Steve Manders. They lasted all the way through our fourth year bowl game and then hung it up after that, you know, for one final year, right? Really, the numbers, like the vast numbers, the pool of transfer portal people, it's for a large majority of them. It's just that it's just an extra stop of hope before they hang it up, right?
Could be in
years before, all of, you know, the bottom half or the bottom 60% of what is now the transfer portal, all those guys, they just quit. Now there's just an extra stop on the route of like, oh, I'll enter the transfer portal first. Maybe someone will pick me up and I'll go try again. And then if you did a study, and it would be annoying to gather all this data, take all the names in the transfer portal this year, look at those guys' careers 2 years from now. I'd love to know how many are just not playing football anymore. That's my point. And it's likely,
interesting to see.
It's likely that Deuce Hogan, Division I football, may never hear his name. And I said this when he was coming in. I'm always sort of, again, I like to bring it to the middle logic of things. He was an incredible recruiter as part of his class. He did incredible things on Twitter and on those recruiting trips. And that's what he was known for before he got to campus, right? Had a lot of people high on him. And I said, it's amazing what he's done, but it's very likely that we never see him play as the quarterback at Iowa. And I'm not.
Iowa? No, of course not.
Well, no, this was back before he even came to campus. And now it's like, I'm not trying to be Mr. Right. I'm just saying, like, here that's come to fruition. And I'm saying again, it's very possible that we never see him as the starter anywhere in Division I. And he's a 4-star guy. Like, it just doesn't, for some people, it doesn't work out, man.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine he's going to be. I have no idea what the Kentucky quarterback depth chart looks like, but You know what? If he's happier riding the bench there versus riding the bench here and paying for the privilege to do it, you know what? Whatever makes you happy, dude.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. True. True. Let's move over to that big puzzle piece for one quick sec. There was a question we got about Tyler Linderbaum. And this is a direct quote. I don't know if I was a better podcaster, I would have added who sent this in, but I'm not. And we know that. If Tyler Linderbaum returns and has a similar year as expected he would be considered potentially the best center in college football history. College Football Hall of Fame, on the wall at Kinnick. How many at the end of their pro careers would give cash back for that opportunity? And I've had several people bring this up, and I think maybe I'm way off on this. I don't remember guys while we were in college, guys that we were currently playing with. I don't remember many giving a shit about being up on the wall in Kinnick or being in the College Football Hall of Fame. I don't know if it was ever a true goal that was like at the top of people's lists.
I don't think anyone ever really talked about it, but you know, it's like you say that, hey, would you like to be in the College Football Hall of Fame? Well, yeah, sure. That sounds cool.
Well, I mean, sure. Fuck. I would have loved to be in the College Football Hall of Fame, but like, do you spend a lot of time on that? I don't know because I'm not one of those guys. We'd have to bring in somebody who left, like, and basically what the question is alluding to is, hey, is that part of the decision to come back? Is that at all part of the decision to come back? Hey, I've got a chance to be on the wall at Kinnick. I've got a chance to leave a legacy.
I doubt it. I think, you know, he's a Remington Award winner, so he's going to already be on the wall at Kinnick. You know, as soon as he steps foot out the door, they're going to start printing one of those big ass posters to hang on the side of the
That's true.
Wall there. No, I mean, you'd have to ask him personally, because
I agree with you.
There's honestly no way for either of us to know. I said it in the last podcast. I think the only reason you come back is you really love being part of the program. You love the guys and you want to go win a Big Ten championship with them.
I agree. In my mind, it's what the team can do, at least in Iowa.
Right. And as far as like, would you give cash back to go and like be great in college one more year? That's tough to say, because that's,
of course, you have that
deciding the future when you already know it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I already know I'm going to make millions and millions of dollars, so of course I'll give back a little bit of it so I can hang this extra accolade on my head. You know, at the time you don't know that when you're making the decision, though.
Right. I just don't see it as, I think, and I don't want to be like assuming or mean or like condescending, but I think all of the people who have asked me that question are like older, like in their 40s or 50s. And that just seems to like that legacy mindset, which may be important to people who are of that age group. And they have the luxury of thinking about what their legacy is going to be on the earth, is like sort of asking like, what are these 22-year-olds thinking about something like legacy? It never really was a thing for me or anybody around me, but who knows? Maybe in their head they were. Linderbaum could come on and tell us, fuck yeah, I wanted to be on the wall at Kinnick. That's why I came back. Who knows? We'll talk to him in a year. Or maybe soon. Who knows? Real quickly. Matt Nagy was fired in Chicago. James Daniels was interviewed about Matt Nagy and said nice things about him, said that he enjoyed the way I didn't even see. I tried to find the interview, but there was just quotes from reporters of the Zoom call on the Zoom call. And then it blew up into this whole thing where like people were tagging me like, oh, James loves to talk about how Iowa doesn't have any fun and all this shit. And like a lot of people wanted us to comment it. So I will comment on it. Here's my thoughts. First of all, maybe some of you did find the entire transcript, but I couldn't. And I think it was probably one of those things where the singular quote with some context around it would probably look a whole lot better, right? Now, of course, the one quote is then put on Twitter, and then everyone's like, oh, this is just in isolation how James Daniels thinks about Iowa versus Chicago or Matt Nagy versus Kirk Ferentz. Probably not, right? Probably not. It's never that black and white. He said something about he appreciated the way that Nagy encouraged a fun locker room and the club dub and the dancing and all that. And he really enjoyed that part of Nagy. And then related it to, you know, I come from a place like Iowa and Kirk Ferentz, who runs a pretty, I don't know what words to use, down to earth program. And we never really did anything like that. Here's my statement. You guys are assuming that, like, in totality, that James Daniels just, like, thinks we never had fun or whatever, right? I'm sure if you asked him, he'd be like, yeah, there was good times at Iowa. It just wasn't the same type of general locker room feel, right? And people were making fun of him about, like, oh, he must have hated winning. And they were tweeting pictures of him in the stands at Iowa State and all this stuff. I think y'all are just probably overblowing it, right? Those are my thoughts. I think James is probably appreciative of what Iowa gave him. Obviously, he was a big part of the thing that happened in 2020, so he's probably not the most loyal to Iowa, but it's somewhere in the middle, and y'all just got to chill out a little bit and not be so uptight. And you can comment.
I didn't see any of this, so I don't really know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, this is the shit that I get tagged in, so you don't have to even comment on it. Okay, we're going to take a couple questions from the Discord, because I asked for them. Oh, and before we get there, Drake and I on DHT yesterday had a conversation about, and I'm curious your answer for yourself and your answer for both Drake and I on this question. Hypothetical situation. And we're just using America. Okay, so take that into account. You pluck 100 random men, any age, right? It's just any male human, 100 random.
Why do I already know, like, this is going to be about fighting and who wins? How many do you win?
Because it's Drake and I.
Because it's Drake. This is a Drake question, is it not?
I don't know how it came up. I think I actually may have, like, sort of sparked this. You know, I'm trying to, you know, always get Drake to talk about something.
Stupid. Yeah, sure. Whatever.
What percentile on average, right? Like, obviously you do this 10 times, you're going to get vastly different groups of 100 men. Mm-hmm. Versus the other 99 men in that group. And the women at home, you can do this as well. Play this theoretical game. Versus those other 99 men in a 1v1, right? How many in a fight to the death, no weapons, do you come out on top? Go.
It's in the 90s, I think.
Okay.
I mean, you look at America.
Yep.
Literally half of America is obese.
Right. And you know, you're going to get a few, like, children in there, right?
This is 0 to 100.
We could even just say of age males, right? Just call it 15-year-old to, you know, anyone who would actually have it.
If you're literally plucking 100 random American males, I mean, 16 of them are going to be elderly. Half of them are going to be obese. Mm-hmm. But if you tone it down to the 15-year-old, dude, I would snap a 15-year-old's neck.
That's what I'm saying. Let's take 15 to 65, 100 random males from the 15 to 65 age range.
It's in the 90s.
Yeah. So what would you give me and Drake?
You're both in the 90s as well.
Okay. I gave myself.
I think Drake's like 99, 98 probably.
I gave myself 90. I gave him 99. And I would give you.
I'll meet you in the middle at
94. Because here was my thought. The nine, give myself 91. The nine in front of me are, and I still think it's too high based on the population of the U.S., to be honest.
I do too, man. I think we're actually a lot higher than just 90. Even.
You might have to extrapolate it out to 10,000 guys so that you can get a little bit more into 9,990.
I mean, the U.S. is just a horribly unhealthy country.
Correct.
As far as, I think our view is skewed a little bit because we spent our entire growing up lives around some really good athletes.
And, correct.
You know, that's kind of the world we still live in where you follow a lot of athletes and fitness people and all that stuff. So it's like, oh, there's a bunch of them out there. Right. Well,
there aren't.
There aren't.
And I said the same thing to Drake. Drake was looking at me like, dude, you'd get your ass beat by like a quarter of the guys out there. And I'd be like, dude, you spend too much time at the jujitsu gym and that's the only guys you hang out with. So it feels like that's what everybody does.
Right? Yeah. Drake would be like, everyone at the jujitsu gym would kick your ass, Cleaver.
Right. But how many?
There's not that many people that do jujitsu.
Exactly. So
you pick out 100 people, one, maybe two of them do jujitsu.
Right. Exactly. And Drake, I think, was a little bit skewed on that. So just that was a funny question. James asked, do we ever listen to Dolph and Podolak call the games? And if so, what do we think of them besides Dolph being an absolute legend? I've heard a lot of people just turn on Dolph and Pody and sync it up with the broadcast. And they just use them as like the announcers, which is an interesting, I think that'd be a good way to do it. Cause a lot of the times we get people who are like asshole broadcasters who don't know anything.
I've had to listen in the car a few times when I was working and driving to work on days I couldn't get off to watch the Hawks. Dolph's the GOAT, man. I mean, what do you want me to say?
He's a GOAT. He's a GOAT. And I think Brady Ross should take over once Dolph is done.
I would 100% sign on for that.
Yeah. And I'll even be the play-by-play if he wants to do color. And we'll just Kluver and Ross take over for Podolak and Dolph. I'll start the petition. I don't think a lot of Hawkeye fans would like that. They would fucking hate that, actually. What team will the Hawks never play? I think never is maybe
the Cleveland Browns.
That you would love to see them play against, or what team did you guys not get to play against that you wish you would have been able to?
Ooh.
What team will they never play? I would love to see. I just talked about it in the national championship, brought it back up again. Give me Bama December 4th in Kinnick at night. I want to legitimately see. I'm not saying the Hawks win. I bet it's close.
I would love to see a Southern team play in Kinnick in November.
Yes. Absolutely.
That is something I'm so you know, they do that too. They have that random non-conference game in November, the SEC does.
Big Ten needs to get on their shit.
Make something happen where we do a home and away.
Mm-hmm.
That part of the season, not at the beginning of the season.
What do you think?
No SEC school will ever agree to it. That's why it'll never happen.
They're pussies and they don't want a piece of that. But how would this sound, right? Ohio State versus Florida at Ohio at the Shoe in November. Iowa versus Auburn in Kinnick in November. Wisconsin versus Alabama in I'm blanking. What's the name of their stadium?
Alabama is
No, Wisconsin.
Camp Randall.
In Camp Randall in November.
Yeah, they played them at Green Bay in September, though. Different story.
Yeah. Who would be another one? Give me Georgia at Michigan in the Big House in November. Give me all those games.
But vice versa, man. I'm sure some Big Ten fans would love to go play down south, you know, the following year, you know, do the home and away thing.
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, I don't think the Big Ten and SEC, like, never do home and away games, really.
No.
They'll do, like, the one-year neutral site thing, but Auburn, Penn State did it this last year. They'll do it again next year. But it just doesn't happen very often. It's kind of a shame.
I'd
love to go watch the Hawks play.
I was going
to
say.
At Ole Miss or something like that.
Like, let's take the podcast down to the down to what's their field?
The Grove at Ole Miss,
or Auburn's field, whatever they call that. I don't even know. Bear Bryant Field, right in Alabama Stadium. Let's take the walk-ons down there, right? I want an SEC team in the cold. That's what I want. That's my answer. Three questions here. Where do you see yourself in 10 years? Still doing the podcast, moving on to more radio gigs, etc. Two, although it sounds, well, let's just start with that. Where do you see yourself in 10 years? You got a 10-year plan, Kevin?
No.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'd be surprised if we're still doing the podcast in 10 years.
10 years, 2032. We would be 37 years old. I'm going to put the odds of us still doing the podcast at that time at 10% seems high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to give anyone out there throwing money out there. I'm saying 15 to 21 odds is what you get.
Yeah. Now for me specifically, and this was asked by Jason Mason, who is the one who held up the washed up Balkans flag at the Maryland game. And his kid is Iowa hype kid.
Legend
who just had a birthday shout out. I personally have fallen in love with talking on the microphone and creating content through podcasts and being on the radio. It's been one of the coolest things that could have ever happened to me that I never even imagined or thought of just 3 years ago before, literally even just the day before we had the idea to start a podcast. I'd never considered it. And I love it. I love doing it. In my head, I'm still creating content, potentially podcasts in some way. Maybe it's fitness. Maybe it's whatever else I'm into in 10 years. I think creator is something that I really love doing. Radio still very much will appear on any radio for the end of time if people care about my Iowa opinions, right? This Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast specifically, I almost know for a fact will not be happening because Drake is too variable. And in a 10-year time frame, anything could happen with that person, that human. And there will just be no way that he's still into doing this pod. And the number one reason actually that this podcast goes away is KF leaves. And the staff leaves. And at that point, I'll still be interested. Like, I'll still do just an Iowa podcast, but Drake will not be associated with Iowa in really any shape or form once that happens. And I don't know where Kevin probably falls in between us somewhere. And after that, it's like, well, if Drake doesn't want to do the podcast and he doesn't care, then it's not the same, right? I don't know when that happens, but yeah. As far as looking forward, I do it in about one, like I literally just sat down. I'm creating some 2022 outline for all the shit that I do. That's as far as I go. You look any further ahead than that?
Bro, I'm just looking a week ahead at a time.
Yeah, exactly. Second question of that was, although it sounds like your time in the Iowa football program was amazing, if you weren't in it, what would you have been doing? Getting a different degree, playing a different sport, learning a hobby you always wanted to learn? Question mark. That's a good question.
Huh. I might have pursued track. I had some interest for doing track in college. Might have done that. I don't know. I would have, man. I don't know. I would have a hard time imagine myself doing anything
else, right?
Athletics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, if it was going to be something football still, I there was probably like two likely scenarios. I would have either ended up snapping for Wyoming or Eastern Michigan on scholarship. Or I would have gone to St. Cloud State and played linebacker. Those were about the only two other opportunities I had.
What about not football?
Not football. And this is where it gets interesting, because at the time I would have gone to college and I would have done something, you know, I don't know what my degree would have been in. Hindsight, if I could do it all over and I could not pick Iowa football, I would have not gone to college. I would have gotten into CrossFit immediately after high school, and I would have worked my way up as a coach in CrossFit, and then potentially like a content creator within the CrossFit and fitness space, or at least pursued that right out of high school. Maybe own my own gym, maybe co-own. That was always sort of part of the plan anyway, but I would have gone full into CrossFit, like very heavy. And there's a lot of people in that space now who are killing it, and they travel around and they do all this cool stuff. And I would love to do that. It's just not really in the cards anymore for me.
Sure.
So that's what I would have done. I might've even pursued CrossFit as an athlete, like tried to go to the CrossFit games, which is an absurd task, but yeah, that's probably what would have happened. Three was, how far will Ted Lasso take his team next season? And I haven't seen,
you know, I've heard great things about this. I don't have Apple TV, so I haven't watched any of it yet, but I want to.
I also have not seen Ted Lasso. It's on the to watch list, right? I will get to it eventually. I think we end it there, or should we do one more?
Here's one more.
Okay. What's it like when the new players join the team, whether it be, I think this is from Courtney, whether it's, you know, what's about to happen with Wampa and the early enrollees here in the spring, or when they come in the summer, is there a different vibe for the kids that enroll early versus who enroll in the fall? I don't know. What happens is a very general question. I'll say this. Most of the kids, and I imagine you're walking into a lion's den, right? You are a high school athlete, especially at Iowa, many of whom are, they know they were the best at their high school, maybe the best in their conference, maybe even one of the best in the state of Iowa. But you know, when you enter the Division I facility and you're now part of that team, there is, you're just very quiet and you just sort of start to figure things out as quickly as possible. Because if you don't, you won't be there for very long. Right. Is that about right, Kev?
Yeah. I just remember it's like almost moving like in a group, you know, it's like, All right, where's the group of freshmen at? Okay. I should probably be with them. Okay, the lift starts in 45 minutes, so we should probably go into the indoor right now and not be late.
Yep. That's so funny you say that, because when I think back to freshman year, there were so many times where I was like, you know, even like when I was worrying about class, like, oh shit, I have a class with one of the other players. So now I can like talk out my homework with him. I can make sure that we're to class on time. We find the building right. Like, We would leave the Hillcrest, and there would just be like a school of fish on mopeds, and we would just move in a pack. It was so funny. You just sort of,
you go do your learning hours together. It's like, yeah, man,
you are in a, you have made it into a very, very select fraternity in a way. And your goal, at least at Iowa, I don't know how it is other places, is to learn how to fit in and start to observe and get into a routine of the behaviors that are going to make you successful in the long run.
Yeah. It's a race to maturity.
Yes.
I
don't know if there's any difference between guys guys who come in the fall or the summer, they have a little bit more time and to get adjusted, right? When you come in the spring and you start in the middle of winter, yes, you're coming in at the beginning of that actual season. Like, these guys are coming in at the very beginning of the 2022 football season, but you're in the middle of the school year, you get thrown into one of the, I mean, granted, they dumb it down for the freshmen, but it is a work period in the weight room. As far as what, you know, there, it's a strength building period. And then 8 weeks later, bam, you're in spring ball. Right. And it's an eye. Let's just say this. It is an eye-opening experience.
It's an eye-opening experience when you've been there from the previous summer. So I can't imagine getting tossed in for the guys that show up a semester early. It's got to be pretty tough.
I would agree.
It's like the summer, like one, it's, you're not taking a full class load in the summer. You're taking one or two classes.
Yep.
And you do that and you're basically learning how we work out.
Yes.
For a month, and then you do some workouts for a month.
Yep.
And then you go to camp, and then you don't have to worry about school and stuff. It's like, yeah, it's a pretty natural transition. I'd say you graduated high school with all your friends and stuff, and then you go off and you start your college career. The coming in at the semester is, yeah, it sounds tough.
Yeah. And you're still,
but I think it's probably easier when more freshmen are doing it
though. Yes
because if you're like the only one, like you're doing your workouts, you're the only one doing that workout.
I was just gonna say, like, this is a huge period of time where if you have a group, essentially there's a lot of shit to figure out, and you want to be walking next to, driving,
you want to be in the herd.
you want to be part of the herd, because yeah, you have this sense of security in the fact that, okay, I don't know.
Somebody here knows what we're supposed to be doing right now.
I don't know what we're supposed to be doing. He doesn't know what maybe even these other three don't know what they're supposed to be doing, but this guy does. Right. And then maybe in a situation, I'm the guy who knows what we're supposed to be doing. And as a group, or
if there's 10 of us here and nobody knows what we're doing, it's probably not our fault. It probably wasn't communicated to us effectively.
And if I get fucking yelled at for it, all 10 of us are getting yelled at for it. So it doesn't matter, man. So it's a very herd group mentality until you start to grasp and feel comfortable with, okay,
this is how we operate. This is how things run.
Absolutely. Yep.
Getting used to it. Yeah.
That's a really, really good question. Really good question. And I hope that answer suffices. So thank you guys for joining us on episode 285 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons, presented to you by DRF Sports, as always, at least for the next few months as we embark on our little title sponsorship with the guys at DRF. Thank you to DRF Sports for continuing to sponsor the podcast. And as always, Hawks by a million. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.